Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, let's find out what's happening with Howie Saxteen. Good morning, Howie Saxteen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm busy putting on my little cuppy and getting my Voortrekker Volkswagen ready, and I'm heading to the Union Buildings.
You missed it. It was at 5 o'clock this morning.
Isn't that what we do on the Day of Reconciliation?
Yeah.
We go have cook sisters wearing our cuppies and our, in our little ox wagons, and we go to Pretoria.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Nobukle, are you joining me?
Maybe for the cook sisters.
Yeah, cook sisters. We can have them at Hanukkah. They deep fried.
You know, all I can say is there's no reconciliation if the food you're going to eat is going to clog your arteries and kill you.
100%. Howie Saxteen, you've got a very unique story. And it is one that I still am mesmerized and awed by when I hear it. So take us back. Take us back to 1994, 1995, and your role. You were an election commissioner, weren't you?
So I wasn't a commissioner. I joined the Independent Electoral Commission in February 1994. I stayed for 6 years. I gave you all peace, freedom, and democracy, so I hope you appreciate it.
Well done, we do.
Thank completely, you.
Most people completely
still
abuse
blame
it, but
me for everything that's gone wrong since 1994. I accept full responsibility for all of that. But yes, I ran the country's elections for about 6 years. I started as head of the investigations unit in Gauteng for the first democratic elections, and then I became executive director of the IEC, running big chunks of the 1999 elections, and doing things like drafting the bits of the constitution that deal with elections and the Electoral Act and all the electoral regulations. And some of my stuff has been approved by the Constitutional Court, and some of my stuff has been thrown out by the Constitutional Court. But that's all part of the process of democratization, of what you think will work and won't work, and trying to get people involved, just not voting once every 4 or 5 years, but actually trying to get them involved in the entire political process and taking responsibility for their own futures and their own lives, and realizing that just like reconciliation is not one event, democracy isn't one event either.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process of participation.
While you were an investigator, Howie, you know, and the reason that I want you to tell the story is that as the South African public, we were largely ignorant of what was happening behind the scenes, of things that were being uncovered. It was a different world where not everything was in the media. There was, you know, we had come from an era of media censorship. So not everything made its way into the media. And there was a story that you were actually involved in uncovering. Tell us that story.
Well, there were many stories. I'm not quite sure which one.
Okay, The one with the barn.
Ah, okay, cool. So what happened was one day I was in the office. So I had a team of, I think there were 26 investigators that I used to coordinate and send out. And our job was to make sure that anyone who was breaching the electoral code of conduct would in fact be fined or arrested, or anyone trying to prevent people vote. But one day we got a call from a farm worker just outside Vereeniging. And he said, my boss won't let us vote come election day. He's told us we're not going to vote. So I gathered together two of my investigators, a very large Afrikaans guy called Victor and an Indian guy called Muhammad Jajbai. And I said, go to this farm, sit down with the farmer and tell him if he doesn't allow his guys to vote, you're going to arrest him and throw him in jail. It's that simple. And Victor looked at me strangely and he said, I'm not getting into the car with that guy. And he points to Muhammad Jajbai. And I say, why? He says, he's black. And I say, well, what do you mean? He says, I've never been in a car with a black man before, and I'm not going to start today. And I said, Victor, you do understand that you're working on the country's first democratic elections, and let me explain your choices to you. Choice number one is you're either getting to the car with Judge Bai and you go to Vereeniging. Choice number two is you get sent back to the prosecutor's office at half your salary the way you were before you came to work for me. It's that simple. And so apparently economics actually does work after all, because Victor and Judge Bai did get into the car, and Judge Bai decided to really twist it in a little and said, oh, by the way,
I'm driving. And a few hours later, they come back to the office, and first Victor calls me aside. He says, you do know that Judge Bai is a genius. And I said, well, you know, he's a senior counsel advocate. There's a good chance that he's going to be pretty bright. He said, you know, I think we'll be friends for the rest of our lives. And when Judge Bai passed away, Victor was at his funeral. But they told the most amazing story. They arrived in Vereeniging at this farm, and the farmer and his wife invite them onto the stoop, and they make them cook sisters on the stoop and give them tea and say, of course we're going to allow all our workers to vote. It's not even a question. We don't know why they called you out. Yeah, it's not even an issue. And as they're driving off the farm with these big plates that say IEC on the side of their vehicle, one of the farm workers stopped them. And the one farm worker says, you see that chicken shed over there? They don't allow black people into that chicken shed anymore. And he produces for them a clump of lead, which they bring back to me in the office. And I don't know what you use lead for, but the only thing that I knew that lead appeared in was bullets. So we had national intelligence and police intelligence busy working in our building at the time, and I called them down and I said, guys, I need you to raid a chicken shed on a farm just outside Vereeniging. And the next day I got a report back that the chicken farm was raided, that they discovered a bomb and arms manufacturing plant inside the chicken shed on the farm. The bomb that had been used to blow up the ANC offices in the center of Johannesburg had been manufactured there. A bomb which had gone off at what was then Jan Smuts Airport just before the elections had been manufactured there. And it was uncovered because a guy called Victor and a guy called Judge Bai, who wouldn't get into a car together because the one was black, together actually saved the lives of potentially thousands of South Africans. And the destabilization and potentially the destruction of the first democratic election was saved by these two people working together, people who wouldn't get into a car together, and ultimately they saved South Africa.
It's so true.
And that's just one story of many, many stories that happened during the elections of how ordinary people working together for the very first time actually saved the country and made us who we are today. And that's part of the magic and the genius of South Africa. This is what makes us unique as a nation, that you can live in Australia or England in America and you wake up every morning and you can't actually make a difference.
Yeah.
In South Africa, you wake up every single day thinking you can improve the very nature and texture of the society we live in. And we can't lose that, because the further we get away from the issue of our founding, our democracy, our big events in our lives, we lose sight of the fact that we are responsible for our own lives. And we can change our lives and the lives of people around us. And that's our obligation. That's our absolute duty. And that's part of the lesson of Hanukkah as well. Where, yes, it was ordinary people in a revolt that went and took back the temple. Because with all in each of us, we have the power to change the world.
100%. 100%. That's beautiful, Howie Saxteen. I really love that. And you're a master storyteller.
Can I be appointed rabbi after adding the Hanukkah bits?
You certainly can. And I love that you brought the Hanukkah bits in as well, because it really is, there's a common human thread and a human truth that we all should be seeing. You know, let's take a step back and just see what the common denominators are. Absolutely. Just, Howie, have you ever been to Morocco?
I haven't yet. I've looked at it quite extensively. Difficult to get there in December because the weather's a little cold, but it's been on the list for quite some time. There's some beautiful looking places. Marrakesh just looks absolutely spectacular. I'll get there. Please God.
Please God, we all will. We all will. I think this is the first December that you've been in Joburg for how many years?
You know, I was trying to work that out the other day, and I think maybe 30. I actually can't remember spending a December in Joburg. You're probably 30 years.
Extraordinary. All right. Well, listen.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
No, it is a good thing.
Nothing to be proud about.
I think at this time it is the responsible thing. And how we have a wonderful, wonderful day. And thank you for sharing that story. And thank you for your role, you know, that you played. Because you just, you perfectly cut out for that in terms of mediation. But, and you know when to call it straight and when to, you know, be a little bit more pliable.
You know, we all got up to play our parts. And part of that playing our parts at the moment is, yeah, I know a lot of people's holidays have been a little disrupted by decisions relating to beaches. But there's a common good. And we have to actually focus on the common good. We're trying to save lives as a country. And yeah, so you'll sit at a swimming pool instead of going to a beach. Is that too much to ask for? Your parents went through the Second World War.
Exactly. And you know, there's a time and a place for everything. It's just not the time for that. Your children will survive. You'll survive. We'll all survive. Please God. We won't if we don't.
If we don't do this stuff. We have to take the steps in order to make sure that we do survive. And if it means that we're not going to go down to the beach for a few days, you know, c'est la vie, we'll learn to live with it.
Yeah, 100%. Howie Sexton, thank you so much and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thanks. Ciao, guys.
God bless. Cheers, cheers. Bye. That's Howard Sexton. And I love talking to him. He's got so many stories. You know, I wanted him to come and do a travel show years ago on Chai FM because he has traveled so extensively. I mean, this is a guy who has literally, he made toasted cheeses on a volcano. True story. He has played with orangutans in the jungles of Borneo, literally. So, what a very, very interesting man.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.